One. All right, I believe we're live. Welcome,
Let's
outposters.
give it a shot.
Welcome. Dom, how you doing?
Howdy, howdy. Couldn't be better.
That's
great
wonderful
to be here.
So,
is it?
Here AMC has got the new Walking Dead series coming out. It's called The Voting Dead. I worked
it
on that all
on
week.
It's going to be a... Did you... We're here for the jokes. Be for the jokes. Oh, boy. Is there anything new that isn't known already?
No.
I was kind of out of the loop today, quite honestly. I didn't listen and do much investigative reporting or journalism on my end because it wasn't the day for it, quite frankly, the day at work, but it's... At some point, you need to give it a break a little bit and listen to something else. So I listened to something rather light, and that was The Punic Wars by Dan Carlin.
That seems fair. That seems
There's
fair.
Nothing like just good old-fashioned, brutal, god-awful, extreme levels of violence.
So what the Punic, is this a book, or is this a, what is this?
Well, Dan Carlin is kind of an amateur historian, basically.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
He's done a bunch of series and episodes about history. He did a really, really good one on the First World War, which I think is probably one of the best things I've ever seen or heard on the First World War outside of the Great War on YouTube. And he's right now working on something about the rise and fall of the Japanese Empire. And it's kind of those things, big series and one-off episodes. He did a really good one on the Spanish-American War, which is probably one of the biggest mistakes we've ever made as a nation. And it's very good. And his Punic War series, I actually bought them. They're quite good. Very good sort of tying the whole thing together. You get the big generalization of what's going on, but he'll dive in to the people and everything going on in the world at the time. It's absolutely fascinating stuff.
Turn you up a little bit here.
Right. Stuff up to.
So a couple of things I wanted to go over on the lastmovieoutpost.com. Plug.
Let's do it.
One is, did you see the Hollywood history of Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies?
It was fantastic, actually. It was wonderful. I love watching those old cartoons anyway.
Yep.
And to get a broader perspective on the birth of Mickey Mouse and Disney, and it's wonderful. So whoever hasn't read it, if you haven't, you're missing out. Especially if you even like history. I think Hollywood history is just some of the most fascinating stuff there is.
Well, I knew some of this stuff, like Oswald the Rabbit and Beans.
Right.
And part of that I knew is because if you have HBO Max, they actually have like pretty much the entire Warner Library in order.
Kidding.
From beginning to end, you can watch it all.
Wow.
So I only know that because of Beans, because of just originally. I did not know that Merry Melody cartoons were in color and Looney Tunes were in black and white. And that's why they had the two different names.
No, I'm with you. You look back on it like, I've seen both of these cartoons. And then it just sort of hits you. Oh my goodness, that's absolutely correct. It's one of those that spark you sort of get every now and then. You're like, oh my, that's absolutely right. And
now later on, they were
the studio stuff.
Well, later on, they were
Sorry,
obviously both in color. But
right.
And I knew that Porky Pig was really the first one that is still going today. And then he was followed by Daffy, and then Bugs, and then Bugs had a Bugs was weird. He did not start out anywhere near what he was earlier.
Right.
He was more of a Daffy kind of character with this really weird laugh kind of thing. And he didn't become the kind of the, I almost think of him like a Groucho Marx kind of character later on.
Oh, definitely. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to his, I think this was a part one. So I'm looking forward to more of this because I really got a kick out of this. And so, Ben, I'm plugging you on this one. But you deserve it because it was really good. And I'm hoping that he does 1940 through 1960.
Absolutely. I would I would even love to see almost like a sub article on the war years, because I when the cartoons go to war too, it's absolutely fascinating.
It's great. And so it racism it's was acceptable. Entertaining.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. It's shocking to a contemporary audience, especially I guess now.
You know, but, you look at it though. Is it really racist? Because yes, they made the Japs look bad, but they made the Krauts look bad too.
Yeah,
You know they were they were
power. It was not necessarily. It was you're the bad guys, and you're going to look awful.
They were equal opportunity racists.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought it was great. I think they're hilarious, and you know, I think this whole idea, it's like, oh, that was so terrible back then. Yeah, we were at war and they attacked us. But, you know, within 10 years, we were buying their cars and their radios. So what's the problem? Yeah.
I don't feel bad because we dropped pallets and pallets of food, not cash, but pallets and pallets of food over the Berlin Wall to keep some of it going. And we've basically paid their bill defensive-wise since the end of the war. So really, I mean, come on. Plus, also, you lighten up. It's kind of funny. This is how we look at trying to kill you and bomb your cities.
Yes. The next, you know, then you make a Godzilla movie and we're yours forever.
Oh, yeah. No, please come by our buildings.
That's right. And then, you know, watch your whole country go bankrupt. And
I know.
I always find it amusing, those 80s movies. Back to the Future is one that really sticks out. But there was a lot of those movies where everybody thought the Japanese were going to buy out all of America. Didn't quite happen that way.
No, it did not. Now we're thinking it's going to be the Chinese. We seem to have this every 20 years, maybe. We seem to have this idea in our heads that somebody is going to be buying up everything pretty soon.
But they always fall apart.
It sort of happens, but not quite on the takeover level that everybody sort of gets worked up into.
I was never worried about the Japanese. Once you see some of their weirder hentai and anime, you realize these people are fucking nuts. You can't sustain anything that long when you're this weird.
Nah, they're fine. They're weird just like us. They're on the outside. We keep it in. We tend to bottle it.
So the other thing that caught my attention was the apparently there's a new book coming out from George. Is it from George Lucas or is he just interviewed?
I don't think so. Yeah. He's in it. I think he's interviewed. If I remember correctly from the article, he was actually interviewed while making the prequels. So I'm guessing it's over the course of the episode 1 to 3, where he was even given an insight into what he was going to do in terms of another trilogy after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
This was called worth talking about.
A 600-page book called The Star Wars Archives from 1999 to 2005, or what I call those years.
The what could have been.
Yeah.
And then the what we get afterwards.
The Jar Jar years.
The Jar Jar years.
Cassie. While he was making those, he was thinking about doing the sequel trilogy, mm-hmm. which at that time, the main players would have been young enough to still do some decent, to pull off some decent movies, I think.
You could have brought back, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
if that's what you were going to do, that was the time to do it. And
it was. He wanted to make Darth Maul the protagonist, or the antagonist, excuse me, the villain.
And he was
training a girl named Darth Talon, who was kind of a tattooed up Twi'lek woman. You know, with the tentacles.
Yeah.
And she was already in the extended universe. So he was obviously paying attention to that.
These are already basically established characters one way or the other, because back then Star Wars wasn't in the habit of basically taking a giant dump all over everything and restructuring it. So whatever happened in a comic book or whatever happened in a book happened to basically count for the whole thing. And you were able to go in and sort of jump around, and you could take characters out of, say, a couple of comic book series. You could interject it into a movie if that's what you wanted to do. And by and large, most Star Wars fans are going to know who it is you're talking about.
Right.
So she was, in fact, a part of something somewhere.
Something.
So it would have made sense.
I wasn't familiar with her as a character. I think I want to say, yes, I'd seen her. I think she was in some comic or something like that. Maybe Dark Horse. But I knew nothing comic. About her beyond that. Yeah. So I thought, you know, it's kind of one of those now you go, well, what could have been? What could have been?
That thing. And what he was planning was bringing back Darth Maul, who I was like, all right, I guess. But is that really?
I feel like Kirk and Wrath of Khan. Aren't you dead?
Aren't you dead? But then you realize, well, what was the last one? Last Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker, The Last Jedi. What is it? Anyway, doesn't matter. But they bring back the Emperor. Spoiler alert, it's nothing you didn't know already anyway. But they bring back the Emperor.
He was on the fucking poster.
There you go. But he was blown up real good into atoms at the end of Return of the Jedi. But they're desperate, so they bring him back because it's Disney and we've got to salvage whatever the Last Jedi has destroyed. Which, I mean, they laid waste better than a retreating Soviet army could lay waste. History nerds, go ahead, look that one up. You'll be really surprised. But they did, and you realize, wait a minute, you're going to bring back Darth Maul? Well, we got the Emperor again. But then you're like, wait a minute, it's not just the Emperor's back and he's a clone of 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 a clone in some planet you can't get to with, you know, looks like a xenomorph
from what I can tell, Emperors are basically the same. They have the same type of, I guess... They're basically sea monkeys. That's what they are. Just add some water, you get a bunch of emperors.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear it's Darth Maul coming back. Well, that's ridiculous too. But then it's, oh, he's going to have robot legs, which I guess, okay, that's better than having your fingers blown off. And then he sort of builds, from what I remember, he builds himself into the biggest gangster in whatever's left of the Empire and the fledgling Republic's sort of universe. And I was like, that I liked. That I would like to see. Okay. Turns himself into a bigger gangster than Jabba the Hutt ever was.
Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere. And you have Leia trying to rebuild the Republic. You have Luke Skywalker trying to rebuild or reform the Jedi Order, whatever's going. It's like, that's good. And then you would have Han Solo in it, obviously, because who's going to know anything about the underworld of the galaxy? Han Solo.
Sure.
So it made perfect sense, and I think if George Lucas was probably committed to it and not with the lax sort of attitude he had towards filmmaking, the prequels, which he clearly did, because it's, let's be honest with you, it's kind of lazy filmmaking.
It is.
But if you'd have had a renewed interest, or maybe if you'd have done like he did with Indiana Jones or even Star Wars, which is, here was the idea, this is where it needs to go, and then you go find somebody competent to get you there. And that's what he did. Because he was the executive producer. He had the story from Empire to Return. It's like, I made the one. I laid the groundwork. Now you do it. He did the same thing with Indiana Jones, and it worked. He laid the groundwork. He wrote the Raiders. And then they just basically turned it over to other people who knew what they were doing. And knew the source material. Maybe it helps that you understand where the idea came from to begin with. Or came from to begin with.
I do think Lucas is underrated as an idea man.
I agree with that.
I think there are some concepts in the prequels that could be interesting. And I don't
like what?
Well, I think that the Jedi were that they weren't very good at their job. Or that they got,
that's an understatement.
Yeah. I like the idea of a senator, you know, pulling all the strings and creating a war between two factions just so he could grab power. I mean, I think there's conceptually that's a good idea. I think the concepts of, and this is going to be blasphemous. I don't hate the midichlorians as much as most people do. And the reason why is because what I kept hearing in the original trilogy, especially in Return of the Jedi, is the Force runs strong in your family. So that would presuppose that there's some sort of biological something that gets passed down to father and son. I don't like that it's... I don't like that it's a scientifically, you know, like they just put a pin in it and say, there's your fucking force right there. I don't like that it's that specific. But I do. I don't
should have been on a poster.
Yeah, but I don't think it's I don't think it's that bad an idea that they were.
It's really not
that it was some sort of biological thing that made you. But they didn't know what it was, or they should have made it much more ambiguous.
Should and have been the left vague,
and maybe finding out that, or if they had used that, say, okay, yeah, it's midichlorians. We know if you have high midichlorians, you have a lot of force. But then they find out something about the Force that says, no, you've been looking at this all wrong. And that's why the Jedi weren't able to see the dark side coming and that kind of stuff, because they got too bogged down, which I think he did touch on this a little bit, but they got too bogged down in their bureaucracy and their way of doing things. They got a little too dogmatic about their religion.
That would have been fantastic, too, with expanding on that. You had, or I mean, like you have in the Western Church, you have the Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ones who were just, no, that's it. Any idea of it being another way is just not happening. Nope, that's not the way it is. No.
Yeah.
And then you had sort of Reformed Jedi, and they're like, we're looking at this wrong. There's something in, let's say, the Skywalker family that we're not catching, which means we're probably missing something else. We need to go look. And they're like, nope, that's just the way the Force works, and you can't do anything about it. That would have been great.
That would have been good. And
especially with, say, Palpatine or somebody, you know, like you had just
taking advantage of that.
Sides against one another? Oh, man.
Which I think there is a little bit of that.
Hard science fiction, too.
I do think there was a little bit of that in there, that concept. It just wasn't really, that he didn't do anything with it. And
yeah, instead you got Obi-Wan on an iguana.
Yeah, Obi-Wan should have been the guy that was, and I think Red Letter Media mentioned this. They said that Qui-Gon was kind of the old, stodgy, dogmatic Jedi, and that Obi-Wan was the guy that was thinking things. That's why he survived the Purge. And that Yoda was learning, even though he's really old, that he had some revelation that maybe he and Obi-Wan were the only two that went, you know what? We've been wrong all this time. And that's why they were the only ones to achieve some new enlightenment, so that they could survive the Jedi Purge. Now, not every concept. So I think that those concepts are kind of touched on, but he doesn't, because he didn't bring any help in, or not enough. Nobody could tell him, you know, George, this is good, this is stupid. For instance, I think the whole idea of the Jedi taking kids from birth, and they don't have any love, and they don't have any. When you listen to,
that's sort of antithetical to the Force. You are leaving out emotions that you really, really need.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good way of trying to show the Jedi's being dogmatic, by just saying we can't love, and he can't be emotional, even though they were yelling at each other half the time. So, and then when you listen to the, you know, what you got in your mind from the original trilogy, forgetting everything you know now, when you hear Obi-Wan talking about, oh yeah, your dad, he was strong in the Force. Like, it was no big thing. It wasn't like, yeah, your dad was strong in the Force, and he really fucked up by having a secret marriage with your mom. You know, those are kind of details you would think would be important to talk about.
Sooner or later, you have to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't really get into any of that. And even after he found out he was Vader, I mean, they didn't really get into, you know, his marriage or his life beforehand. You didn't feel like a Jedi Knight was some weird monastery. And so I feel like here I am talking up, saying they should have gone more dogmatic. But on the other hand, I think they went dogmatic in the wrong direction.
Yes. If you can wrap your head around it.
Yeah. Dogmatic about the Force, not dogmatic about having a family. You know,
I think those will be talked about. The prequel trilogy will be talked about long after the Disney wars are out of our memories, mostly because there's this fascinating what could have been.
Yeah.
Small tweaks. I mean, those movies were just small tweaks, just a little more shit to give. And they're respectable and they're up to par.
Yeah, I mean, Disney obviously
Wars, it ain't. They're not. I don't think they're small tweaks away. They're just big, no, ugly, expensive messes.
They're cynical cash grabs.
Exactly.
That's all they are. They're more competently directed. I would say that.
Absolutely. It's not even out.
But they took the, you know, like what everybody complained about from the prequels was too much green screen, too many, you know, shot reverse shots, not enough practical effects. It's like, yeah, okay, those are all problems, but those are the easy problems to fix. The hard problems to fix is characters I give a shit about. Not putting in your weird culty SJW mindset in there. Not putting in Mary Sue's. Knowing what the... You know, you can say what you will about the execution, but George did have a story in mind from beginning to end. He did. He didn't have it all, you know, scripted out, but he did have a pretty... He had a concept
of where he was going. Well, he really didn't even have it half thought out, quite frankly. No. He had A, B, and C put together. That's what he had. How am I going to get from A to B?
But at least he had the dots to connect. Disney didn't even have those dots. They had JJ, here's a mystery box, good luck. And Rian Johnson says, see your mystery box? I'm taking a dump in it. Now,
watch this. Fire.
Yeah, and then he took the
scramble for you've got to put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
He put the shit filled mystery box on JJ's porch. JJ opened it up, went and started stomping on it, and that was Rise of Skywalker.
And what you get is a cavalry charge on a Star Destroyer, apparently.
Yeah, that's how you end up with horses.
One thing that almost convinced me to go and see it. I was this close to buying a ticket and going the second I saw the cavalry charge, the charge of the light brigade Custer up there on Little Bighorn, which is a Star Destroyer. I'm like, if you want to go down Schlock Boulevard, I will go with you.
If you're going to embrace the Schlock, embrace it.
Go for it. I mean, just make the biggest, shittiest, ugliest thing you can, because what are you going to do at this point? Well, you're going to bring back the Emperor. He survived essentially multiple nuclear weapons explosions. And the only thing he got for it is a broken nail. A quite literal broken nail.
So, we're agreeing that the sequels, there's nothing... They're technically much, much more competent in a lot of ways, but they are
even cynical garbage. What is the second one? Last Jedi? Mm. Even Last Jedi, with its... third act was essentially one ending after another, like the Lord of the Rings films, is much prettier to look at than anything George Lucas did most of the way through Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the prequels to me are a weird missed opportunity. Like, there's something there. But there's just too much sludge you have to cut through to get to it.
Yeah.
And some of it's technical and some of it's acting, but most of it is writing. But the concepts, we're still talking about it. Like, we're both uh-huh. sitting there going, you know, if you had done this or done this. When we talk about the sequel trilogy, it's like, you could just set it on fire. It's about all you could do.
If you just build a time machine, go back.
And not make them.
From doing it, and you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. If you kill Kathleen Kennedy as a baby or something, like Hitler. Somebody had to bring Hitler into this, right?
I know. We need a Hitler.
You need to bring Hitler into every conversation.
I need a Hitler here.
Because watching CNN...
No way condones violence. We condemn it all in all its forms. Written violence, physical violence, emotional violence, all of it. It is appalling. It's disgusting that we live the way we do this day and age with violence. And what Yoda was talking about... is violence. And don't. It's bad. It's bad. Violence is bad. Don't do violence.
Violence is bad and gay.
I got my blue check today. Hey, y'all. Be sure to check out my OnlyFans.
So, yeah.
Let's get on you to know, Zack Snyder.
I just needed to talk a little bit about it. And I had to bring up Hitler because... You know, watching CNN talk about Trump, I just don't get enough Hitler in my life.
Oh, it reminds me. CNN is like History Channel back in the 90s. History Channel back in the 90s.
It was the Hitler Channel.
Weren't cool enough to be there. Exactly. Was the Hitler Channel. It was wall-to-wall Hitler, except for an hour or so a day, when it was the 20th century with Mike Wallace, and that was a really good show. But even half the time, Hitler was on TV. It was Hitler TV. They called it HTV for a reason.
Welcome to the History Channel. All Hitler all the time.
Was Hitler on drugs? Was Hitler a pedophile?
That's right.
Did Hitler go outside on Sunday afternoon? We have forensic experts and roundtables. They even had roundtables on Hitler.
And now, in the top 40 countdown, the number one chart topper, Auschwitz.
What was the number one movie in the world while Hitler?
Springtime for Hitler. So,
Germany.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about, and no, we're not going to talk about Zack Snyder. I don't give a shit.
Why not? We haven't taken a big enough dump today. I've had cheese. Right. Let's go.
I have been reading, I don't know why, I got into this recently, but I started getting into Star Trek comics. And originally what I wanted to find was the comics they did at IDW for the Kelvin universe, which I understood was they did like the original adventures, but with a Kelvin twist on them. They're okay. They're okay. They're not.
Why?
I don't know.
Just reissue the original.
Curiosity, I guess. But okay. That got me. I mean, first of all, there weren't that many of them. It didn't take that long to get through. They had a couple of interesting crossovers and that sort of thing. But I guess it's kind of interesting because they did the best. What's fascinating about them is that there isn't a comic in there that isn't better than what we got in the actual movies.
Oh, that's
like they really tried. They really tried to bring back that spirit of Star Trek and yet keep the Kelvin. I give them props for the effort, but that got me.
Grant you trying, but you have to. If you accept the premise that the Kelvin universe is Star Trek in name only, it's you have the names of the ships right, you have almost the general outline right, you've got the uniform colors are kind of the uniform colors, but they don't look the same really. It's like you've done everything you can to be like 25% different.
Did you end up watching my comparison of the two trilogies video?
I started it.
You started it.
But like everything else, they have kids who need to watch cartoons and
no,
stuff.
No, I get it. Well, one of the things I mentioned in there, spoilers, is that the problem with them not understanding the characters is that they only get the superficial shit. And you just kind of mentioned it. They get that Kirk eats an apple during the Kobayashi Maru. They get that Kirk likes to punch people, right? They get somebody yelling,
but they don't get that necessarily, right? Because Kirk was still ultimately a professional captain who on more than one occasion, I don't mean to talk over you, but
no, you're.
Who understand the responsibility
I'm used to
of captaining a ship and took it seriously and cared about the general welfare of those under his command. He was not like, well, we're going to take the Enterprise and we're going to charge right into that thing and we're going to blow it up real good. That was kind of the last resort for him.
He generally followed orders for the most part. He generally was a good military man. He definitely was a dedicated captain, a dedicated Starfleet officer. Occasionally he'd wipe his ass with the Prime Directive, but you know, I love Rich Evans, and it's one of those hours where he starts reading the Constitution to some backwards tribe, or he just decides.
I do love that, though. I mean, if I came into, it's the first thing I would do. I was like, you need to read this.
Exactly. Let's start with the Chinese, see how that works out, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we should send them in some AR-15s. I do not condone violence in any way.
No, of course not. I also greatly enjoyed it that more than any other show, Kirk was able to talk computers into committing suicide.
I mean, it's really. I forgot about that for a second.
It was great.
That's amazing.
Analyze.
The great, he really is one of the most complex characters in science fiction. He's the only man this side of a Blade Runner who got a robot to decide this just ain't worth it anymore.
I am Landru. No, you're not. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
So just needed Kirk to come down there, true. Bang some green chicks, and talk a computer to committing suicide. So, anyway.
Take some atoms. Yeah, on the way home.
So Kirk's reputation as a rule breaker really comes from what I call the Genesis trilogy, Star Trek 2, 3, and 4, right? And I mean, okay, yeah, he broke some rules. He had to save his one friend's sanity and his other friend's life, who they've been, you know, and you've got this whole history. And it's an interesting period of Star Trek. And this is where I'm going to get into the DC. DC had the rights to Star Trek at this time. And so they started in right after Star Trek II with mm-hmm. the Adventures of the Enterprise, with Savick taking the place of Spock as a science officer, but not the first officer.
Right.
I think he made Sulu the first officer. But then they also introduced new characters. One of them was a Klingon who didn't like being a Klingon.
okay.
He was a weirdo who liked peace and flowers, and you know, he was no Worf. He was like an anti
Klingon.
He was a hippie Klingon. It's exactly what he was.
Okay.
And they end up with they end up rescuing him from his other Klingons who tried to start a war with Starfleet. Yeah. Now, I've gone through all these stories, so they're kind of jumbled up in my head, so I don't
That's
remember
fine.
Them all. But so they got that. They got an Indian guy named Bearclaw, who's kind of a racist and a dick, but an interesting character because he'll also, you know, put his life down for you. They got another lady, Ensign Nancy Bryce, I believe is her name. And then a couple of others here and there that have kind of come in and out.
Right.
So as they're going through these different stories and you're getting closer and closer, because you remember Star Trek 2 was only two years after, or Star Trek 3 was only 2 years after Wrath of Khan. And so
it's essentially one big movie. It's explained to me and I completely agree now.
It is. And so as they're writing through this, they realize they must have gotten the script because they did the adaptation in DC and they mm-hmm. realized, okay, so this is what's going to happen. Okay. So then they had these little nuggets, you know, like, okay, we got to get back to, you know, home base. We got to get back to Starfleet. And they get into some fights. They have this big, huge thing. Well, no, that comes later. Never mind. But they have all these different fights with, you know, different adventures with different, you know, aliens and things like it's Star Trek and they're good stories. And then they have to do a thing with a couple of Vulcans and Savick has Pon Farr. And so they take her back to Vulcan, at which point Sarek kind of reaches out like, I need to talk to you, Kirk, but he doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And then they go right into Star Trek III. Now, if you watch Star Trek III, it's clear that it happens immediately after Star Trek II.
It's like, doesn't even miss a beat.
No, but boy, DC tried. You know, they really tried to make this all work and then to funnel it into Star Trek
III. And it sounds actually kind of interesting, too.
It was. So then after Star Trek III, they get the Excelsior. And Spock is still on Vulcan, but he's kind of a mess. He's not himself. He's having trouble.
Right.
He's not sane. I won't say he's insane, but he's a jumbled mess. Well, the Mirrored Universe comes in, decides that they're going to take over, and they have Kirk and Spock and the old Enterprise, which hasn't been blown up, and they come up against the Excelsior, which pretty much kicks their ass. In the meantime, Bearded, he still has the goatee, of course. Bearded evil Spock goes and he really is angry at good Spock because he's jealous or he feels like Spock has what he doesn't. And long story short, they get into a mind meld fight. And this has the effect of fixing Spock's messed up thoughts because of the death and the falter pan and all that. And evil Spock turns good because they come to an understanding inside the mind melding universe, whatever the hell that is. But it worked.
Clever.
It actually worked. And yeah. So then they take the Klingon bird of prey that they stole and they try to stop the evil universe from coming in. Big, huge story. By the end of it, the series continues on with Saavik and Kirk still on the Excelsior and Spock taking the USS Surak with his own crew. And he's got some interesting crewmates there. And they kind of have these two. Sometimes they'll do those guys. Sometimes they'll come together. I haven't gotten to the end of it, but they've done a lot of stories, a lot of backstories about the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Uhura is named Nyota, like she is in the movies.
Right.
In DC Comics. Way back then, even though it was never really canon, I guess.
Right. It's just, we're going with it.
We're going with it. DC New. They have a lot of good flashback stories from the original series. They had this one great one. It was a humorous one.
Uh-huh.
It was written by Diane Duane, who wrote on the original series.
Wow.
And basically, this ship comes up and says to Kirk, you need to surrender. Resistance is useless. Which I was like going, well, that's close.
That's familiar sounding.
But it turns out it's this group of aliens that their ship is kind of a wussy ship. They couldn't do anything to the Excelsior if they want to. So Kirk just says, all right, fine, we surrender. and they go into the brig and the aliens don't know how to work the brig. And Kirk says, oh no, it's the top button. He hits the top button and then they leave him in the brig. And Kirk says, yeah, that's like that force field. That's like the power of a flashlight. So they just walk out. And then another group comes and the first group is really scared of the second group that's coming. The first group looks like lobsters or something with a gas mask on. The second group is basically just house cats.
and
they go through the exact same thing. You need to surrender. Kirk says, fine, we surrender, because he knows they suck too. And they beam out all these house cats that are standing on their hind legs with way too many guns. And it's just,
that sounds like a slightly less scary version of what are they called in the Wing Commander.
It's way less scary. Very very cute though.
That's phenomenal. So these are worth tracking down then.
I think they were. You know, you got a lot of the 80s art and you know, they couldn't do the coloring very good. And there's a lot of times where they're in their uniforms and then they're not in their uniforms. And then they're in, and Scotty's in his engineering thing. And then he's in his dress uniform in the next panel. Yeah, continuity is for pussies.
You're not here for that.
You're not here for that crap.
That's phenomenal.
So, I haven't gotten all the way through it. I've actually just gotten to this one here, which is a flashback one with Uhura. And but let me see if I can get back here a little bit.
So you don't even have him in an actual book anymore. It's all
no, digital, it's all huh? It's all digital now. But it's pretty good. And it feels way more like Star Trek than anything they're putting out nowadays. Certainly more than that garbage Discovery. Picard is garbage.
That just gets worse and worse.
I haven't even watched. Have you watched it? Have you watched any of it?
I attempted to watch when it was available for free, and I didn't want to say it was the first season. Maybe the first couple episodes of the first season where it was just, oh, you know, we want to build word of mouth. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I was there a couple of minutes and I went, not happening. And then the last thing I've seen since was when the Enterprise made its appearance at the end of, is it like the first season or whatever it was, where they're doing some big, dumb, violent thing. I didn't even care. And it's like, oh, we're getting a signal. And next thing you know, it's the Enterprise. It comes like a bat out of hell right up on top of the bow of whatever that god-awful looking thing was. And it's like...
Well, this is what... This is where I get so tired of the screen rants and the screen junkies and the various woke websites, the movie news websites that are out there. Ain't it cool? All of them is, you know, they talk about, they get into like incredible detail about how good the new Enterprise looks and how they made a very nice updated version of the 60s Enterprise. And it's amazing looking. And, you know, check out what they did here and what they did here and the uniforms. It's like, if you could have done this in the 60s, I'm like, yeah, not one of you is talking about how bad the fucking story is, how bad the main characters are, how bad it's, even, you know.
And there are a couple that I follow on YouTube. There was a podcast I used to be a huge fan of. And it was called Space Doc Jury. And they would basically, it was like, you remember Top Gear? And it was kind of like
Never
Top
watched
Gear
it,
in
but
a
I
way
know
where they had
about.
Like, they had the cool wall, essentially. This segment was the cool wall. You would take a car and you would, it was a debate over whether or not the car was cool. And you would put it on this, you know, sub-zero, cool, not cool, god-awful, whatever it was. And they had basically done that, but with all the ships of science fiction. And they would always be the most passionate and outspoken when it came to Starfleet ships. In particular, anyone named Enterprise. As far as I know, that show went away. What's in its place, I don't think, has even mentioned the new Starfleet ships from Discovery and Picard and whatever, and the Kelvin, that god-awful-looking piece of shit. That lopsided, ugly piece of shit.
Way too big.
And then there are actual, ridiculous looking. And then there's a mostly science, mostly Star Trek focused science fiction-ish show on YouTube that I had followed for a long time, where they'd done a lot of breakdowns of episodes. And they would also do another thing of going into, you know, the ship design and the way they look and describing it. It was almost like a technical manual. Maybe just stop short of being sort of a technical manual. And they've gone into the new ones, and it's like watching people be as desperate as they can to say something positive.
Yeah.
Which, look, if that's what you want to do, I guess that's cool, but
yeah,
if
you're
you don't
just
like
trying
it,
to,
just say you don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the Enterprise and the original Star Trek, but the reason why I love all that is because of the characters and the stories that those characters had to go through. Which some of them were very clever, but I mean, you don't like. It's hard to, you know. There's been some cool ships out there in various other sci-fi properties, but the sci-fi properties suck, so nobody really remembers the ship or anything about it because there was nobody there to get emotionally involved with, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know. I mean, to me, the X-Wing is still the coolest ship in the universe, save for maybe the Millennium Falcon. Now it's been ruined. Well, the X-Wing hasn't
been
ruined.
It's
been
dragged through the mud.
The Falcon
It's just updated. It doesn't look... The new X-Wings didn't look that bad.
Yeah, but...
But, you know, the thing
was... You
don't
care about Star Wars
anymore. The ships themselves... No, that's true. But the ships themselves became characters. And that's sort of part of why Star Trek worked. Because there was a legitimate affection for where they, for what they were on and what they were doing. And that carried through all the way through most of the series, and maybe even Voyager. I ended up not liking Voyager, but it was the same thing. This was our home, and this was going to get us back. And the Voyager was a character. Deep Space Nine ended up becoming something of a character. The Galaxy Enterprise, the Enterprise E, when they eventually built it, it never really had a chance to sort of build into its own thing. But
I never liked the Enterprise E. Man, that thing looks squishy.
I kind of do, but the more I look at it, she has weird lines.
Yeah.
There's weird lines on that girl.
It doesn't, it's one of those, curve. it doesn't hold up over time. It doesn't become a classic like the original. The movie Enterprise is still the best one. The Enterprise.
Oh, Enterprise A is.
Enterprise A
the
or
greatest
the refit.
Science fiction warship. Yeah, the refit. I think the original Constitution class is still spot on for its simplicity and its elegance. I think the only thing that gets close Maybe I've mentioned it before, but the only thing that ever came close to matching the majesty of those early Enterprise ships was definitely the Battlestar Galactica.
I did like the Battlestar. You got
it. Another one. They successfully turned that home into a character. So what happened to the Galactica had that same power when it happened to the Enterprise. I mean, when Kirk watched the Enterprise blow up at the end of Star Trek 3, and he's, my God, what have I done? It's amazing because here's the other part. Is Kirk doesn't get enough sort of credit aside from his action-y fight guy kind of thing. And I had sort of alluded to it earlier where he genuinely cared. The Enterprise was important to him. That was his ship. That was his command. And when it was hurt,
he hurt with it. I'll push back a little bit on you here. I think the reason, I mean, in the end, the Enterprise, these things are inanimate objects, right? They're props. Yes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's no...
They're props. Absolutely. The reason why we care about them is because we care about the characters and their connection to these things, which they call home or, you know, their vehicle or whatever. That's probably
putting it better than I did.
Yeah, I think it's... And, like, I can give a shit about the Discovery as a ship, whether it blows up or not, because I can give a shit about the characters on there. And they're awful. They are so awful.
You don't feel bad for anything that happens on it or to it.
Yeah. In fact, it's you're kind of praying for a self-destruct.
Why can't you guys just accidentally spin yourself, or whatever the hell it is you're doing, right into the middle of a sun?
Yeah, oops. And they were never seen. Poochie went back to his home planet. Never
seen again. Yeah, I remember old Bootsy. Oh, that was a great episode. Rest in peace, Simpsons.
Yep. So anyway, I went through these DC. I'm still going through them. I'm interested to see, because I know, and I actually have the actual comic. I bought it back in the day. I still have it. The Star Trek IV adaptation. And
no kid,
that adaptation is that adaptation is not going to work after they've been on the Excelsior. It's not. They're going to have to basically just say, "Fuck it, we're rebooting the universe."
Fuck it, we're going to do this universe again.
Look, it was about the same time DC was doing the Crisis on Infinite Earths. So just figure the antimatter came through and. We'll do another Star Trek. Who cares?
Some shit happened. Move on with your life. It's that big a deal.
That's right. Superboy punched a wall. We got a new reality.
Superboy punched a wall. Yeah. What do you want? Continuity? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. It's for pussies. We're going to have
Spawn coming out.
They can't even be bothered to get the right uniform from frame to panel. So, you know. I don't think they give a shit.
That is terrible. You're not here for that. You want big, giant tits.
So, God, the chat is, well, we got quite a few playbacks or viewers, but chat is very quiet. Indiana Peach, let's see. Yeah, hentai is weird. He agrees. It is weird. Also,
if that's your thing.
I think hentai is translated into tentacle porn, right?
Yes. That is a literal. Sure.
I think that's a literal translation. China is taking over people. Elizabeth Warren won't save you. She might do a rain dance or something. You don't know.
That's offensive to me and my people.
Me too.
They don't work.
I'm offended by my by me. And Indiana Peach also says the Darth Maul idea is weak. Maybe. I mean, they brought him back in Clone Wars, so I think that was an idea that Filoni mined and took back. I don't know. He became a pretty interesting character in Clone Wars. He was nothing in the actual
Phantom Menace. Clone Wars actually really good.
Filoni knows what he's doing.
If you weigh it against what you got, it's really not that bad, and at least he wasn't Darth Maul doing something Darth Maul would do. Instead, he's become the biggest. He's the Al Capone of the galaxy. And okay,
Of course, Darth Maul didn't die. He had the high ground. As long as you have the high ground, you could get cut in half. You're fine.
Custer did too.
Yeah, Custer had the high ground. Didn't work for him. Let's see. Tau Pilot, by the way, you won the chat for today. Darth Cthulhu, Evening Moonlights. Thank you. Indiana Peach again. Prequels were straight garbage from soup to nuts. Yes. What we got, the result was garbage. I can't deny yeah. that. I'm trying to dig a little through the garbage and see if I can just find that nugget of bread that might still be edible, you know? Like a homeless guy just looking for that.
Ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah. The freshest ingredients. The most expensive thing you could find, and all you got was porridge.
That's right. The prequels, let's see. The prequels equally talked about as the original movies, but for opposite reasons.
But they're talked about.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes to my theory that there is a nugget of something there.
Yeah, I mean, you get passions at least.
Yeah, there's something there that could...
As opposed to vitriol.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of vitriol in the prequels, but...
Oh, yeah, okay, but But we will... Here's the thing, though. We at least try to find something positive in the prequels.
Yes.
And maybe that's just because most people have sat through what comes afterwards. But it's, I think, what you've already alluded to. It's that there were good ideas. There was a great... Or a good story. There was everything was there. It just was not put together, as opposed to the word soup. And the mystery boxes and the flaming bags of shit left on people's porches.
Yes.
And then when you don't like having to stomp out a flaming bag of shit on your porch, the crap you get for it.
Yes. And there was nothing redeeming about the sequels other than technically. But the prequels... They are technically... The prequels, you feel like there's a concept there that just wasn't realized in any good way.
The prequels are a country song.
That's depressing. The prequels needed a lot more than small tweaks. The casting alone was atrocious. I don't blame the casting. First of all,
not all of it though.
Yeah, I don't think that any of those actors are bad actors, because I've seen them do good acting. I think poor Hayden Christensen got the worst of it.
Yes.
Because it
fairly
was
fairly or unfairly, he got the brunt.
He got the brunt, and I've seen him in different things. He is a good actor, but he rightly or wrongly, he had the hardest time, I think, following the Lucas direction and trying to get a hold of the character. And
Well, when you're told you just go here and then you go over there and
then
you
do
turn
it faster,
around, like
more intense,
do it fast, and then look at everything around you and you're behind a green screen.
I feel like that was
a lot to
ask a guy.
You got a shitty performance out of Ewan McGregor, so you know, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did the best. I mean, people are kind of saying,
and he was the best of it.
He was the best of it. He made silk out of a sow's ear, but very little bit of it.
Natalie Portman has won an Oscar, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'm not...
If that kind of thing matters to you, then she won an Oscar for a performance, which, in terms of the little world we're in, that means you can do that. You can act. Okay, she can act. She's got the little statue to prove that she can, convincingly enough to have her industry reward her with a little statue.
I feel...
It counts for something in the world we're playing in right here. Outside of it, in the real world, doesn't matter for Dick. Nobody cares. But Natalie Portman has an Oscar, and that means her industry recognizes something at some point.
Something at some point, I guess. I mean, I never saw Black Swan, so I'll try to be fair here.
I've
but
seen parts of it.
I find Natalie Portman to be pretty limited in her range. So
nice. I don't follow movies quite the way I did performances and that kind of thing, and getting into it on that same level. So for what it is, sure.
Sean is happy that we invoked Godwin's law, and E-Bob is Don is a Bob. Reader. I effing knew it.
The hell I am. I've been here for now close to an hour saying I don't.
Yeah, I'm the one who talks about reading, buddy.
Yeah. Well, Duel. I don't even look at pictures. They're so lame.
That's right. I read everything's adult. I read comic books. Like a grown-up.
I choose my own adventures.
That's
in
right.
In the shower.
That's right.
Yeah, so suck on that, E-Bob.
Let's not talk about that. Tracy.
E-Bob?
Tracy, my sister is here. I don't know if she's still here or if she's like, Jesus, what the hell am I watching here? But she
actually... Like your actual sister?
My little sister is
Hello.
Here.
Hi, how are you?
So
make yourself at home.
Congratulations. I've got family on here. That's how many the fans are just even my family has got to watch this.
I've told my family no, you're not.
Skank Hunt wants to know, is this the Scotland Appreciation Channel? No.
Oh, did they do something today? Are they an independent country yet?
Well, they keep voting for it, but then they keep voting against it.
Look, I tell you what, the day you're a republic, you have a baseball team and a beach. We'll talk about it.
I mean, you did have Mel Gibson fight for you, so you're kind of doomed, I think.
He also took, 2,000 years worth of history and boiled it down into something that didn't happen.
Have you watched...
Your like country's Braveheart? History is as big a lie as ours is. Yes, I love Braveheart. Braveheart, I think, is a fantastic... violent modern movie that is at the same time a sort of throwback to the way movies used to be.
I'm going to have to clear
cut guys and bad guys, and
I'm going to have to give that another try, because I remember trying to watch that and just being bored silly, and then
no kidding.
Yeah, but this is a long time ago, like way back when it first came out. Would it come out 95? I think
95.
So. I haven't really tried to revisit it since, so maybe I was in a bad mood. I got a few of those movies.
Probably had a bad weekend.
Yeah, I got a few of those
probably
movies.
Probably
dropped
some bad acid at Coachella.
You promise you never talk about that. The thing I there's a couple of movies like The Godfathers. I've tried to watch those and I fall asleep. And I know there's sometimes it's like I know I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Sometimes you have to Everybody accept that you have those movies that you know you're wrong about. I really had that. They put on our one of our postings. Somebody put Bruce Willis's "Respect Yourself" video up there. Respect yourself.
Well,
and I had to admit,
only by somebody finding Don Johnson and doing the same thing, because Don Johnson thought he could sing too.
Yeah, and I had to admit that I actually like that song, and I'm deeply ashamed about it.
Share your truth, Yoda. Share your truth, sister.
I
let's go down that rabbit hole.
I like it. Okay, I'm not defending it. Don't get me wrong. I know it's crap. Okay,
I'm defending it. I'm just saying I like it.
I like it. You know,
I don't want to.
I like a double quarter pounder. They're terrible for me, but I suck them down like mints. They're great.
McDonald's. You talk about another thing that's not as great as it used to be.
No, ever since they dropped the canola oil in their, they dropped the whatever, the coconut oil in their fries, it's just, but I still suck it down. I'll tell you what, I just.
Oh, somebody capture that. We need memes.
Me. I love me some McDonald's. I'm not gonna lie. Fast food.
I used to love McDonald's.
I eat like a 12-year-old still. I'm not proud of that.
I pride myself on my appetite being that of I am my spirit animal is a fat child.
Peanut butter shake. That's what I've been sucking down all year.
Is that Sonic?
Sonic peanut butter shake.
I swore off most fast food, but Sonic made that cut by a pubic hair that I still allow it. Sonic, Whataburger, and In-N-Out.
I'm
occasionally we'll go for.
Like I said, I'm not proud of myself.
Listen, you are who you are, and I am who I am. Yeah. We're gonna share our truths.
We're sharing.
It's about
our truths.
Truth and reconciliation.
I checked on I've done the chats on the live stream. Let me check on the, so we can actually embed these streams now, which is supposedly you're not allowed to do that until you've had 1,000 subscribers, which we're at 10% of that. So like, maybe 12%. Nope, nothing new here.
That's 200.
So
300, is there a remainder?
We have 127. So
hey, that's pretty sweet.
126, 127 subscribers. So we're looking for more. Please, you know, share us out. Have us get subscribed. And of course, share out the website, lastmovieoutpost.com.
Act now. The next 50 subscribers get 2 hours free with Ebob Jr. Whatever you want.
Now, let me understand this correctly. You see this as a positive thing.
You subscribe, you get Junior, 2 hours, no questions asked. He loves it. He told me the other day, I love it.
And you want subscribers,
You know, putting teeth back in, but he loves it. We want subscribers.
Down to 115 now. I can just see the subscriber count ticking down. Thanks for that. Let's talk about marketing, Dom.
I'm doing my part. Have you checked your SEO box?
No.
If you check your SEO box now, you get 2 hours with Ebob Jr.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh,
God almighty. Shit. All right. So I think, do you have anything to bring to the table?
Outside of how handsome I am, not really.
You are a very handsome man.
Lazy eyelid. I wanted to talk about it last week, but I don't want to bring it up anymore.
Oh, I do have a question from last week that people are dying to know that we never really answered the question to.
Okay.
Do you remember that can of liquor that you had with the Sharpie written on it or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah. It's still under the table. Do you want me to go get it?
Well, people were wanting to know, did you like it? Was it good? Or did you even crack it open?
Yes, I did. So if I'm not mistaken, that was the one that I had said tasted like some a cereal of some kind, like a Fruit Loop or something, correct? And it was a sour beer, which is what's that sour style ale, which you mostly get from Bavaria, lower Germany.
Okay.
And yes, I did enjoy it quite a bit. Moderately strength, not a particularly hoppy beer. Most, you know, German beers aren't hoppy anyway. But yes, it was a very good, very pleasant, very drinkable sort of beer. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I will be getting it again.
We may have to make this a continuing thing. You know, Dom's Beer of the Week.
We could do it. Today we went
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Missed it. I already had.
You drank
the
it
local
all.
Pineapple wheat beer called Mr. Pineapple is brewed not too far from me, and somebody was talking earlier about liking pineapple and things, which are great if you put it on pizza. Though I swear to God, I'm gonna hunt you down.
I'm with you on that.
Pineapple is a good in a wheat beer. It's actually refreshing, and they make a very good one. So I was enjoying that, but right now we're just.
Yeah. Then you went to Pabst Blue Ribbon because
eat myself my old PBR.
What were you out of Pennzoil? Why?
Well, I have 2 cases of Old Style in the fridge that I had just gotten earlier, and it's not the weekend yet, so I wasn't going to break out the good stuff. So I had these PBRs sitting around. I'm like, well, why not? Tomorrow is Friday after all. You might as well live it up. Plus, Clint Eastwood was drinking that in Gran Torino.
True. It was a horrible racist that got killed, but, you know, I mean, if that's your...
No way I am.
Your bar.
You get to see retired Dirty Harry having a go at a PBR. It's not bad beer. If you want cheap lager, you can do a fuckload worse.
I still have a Corona down in my fridge.
Corona, I'm sorry, is the Zack Snyder films of beer. They're catastrophic shit shows. They're not that refined crap you get with Michael Bay and his Bud Light.
I know, but
look at that. I got to host my own show.
The commercials with the chicks in the bikini always, they talk fancy. They confuse me. All right. So I think we've burned an hour here. I don't have anything else to talk about, and it's just going to spiral out of control if we continue like this. But thank you very much. Next Thursday?
Unless you want to get into personal problems.
I have so many. And
like, where do I start?
Yeah, we'll run out of stream.
No, I'm good. I thought this was, we're much more professional this time.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see
Which
us
way, though?
Being, nobody wants to see us being professional.
Stay tuned next week for the episode 10 Action Spectacular, where it's an old-fashioned drinking show.
You know, this one went very smoothly, and coincidentally, I've had no liquor tonight. I think that's
everything
just a
okay?
complete coincidence. That's all it is. I just never... I had my shake, and I just didn't get around to pouring myself some rum, so I just said...
I'm with you. I have those nights where it's like, you know what? Too late. I don't care anymore.
I'll do this one sober, and I think it turned out to be the best one, so I think it's a complete coincidence.
Strange. Something in the algorithm's not working right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Discus is broken.
It probably is. 20 playbacks. So we've got a lot of people watching, so thank you very much, everyone. We really appreciate it. Remember, at Drunken Yoda 1, at Movie Outpost, those are the Twitters, at Movie Outpost or at Last Movie Outpost. I don't know. We have an Instagram. It's one of those two.
It's a good one.
It is. If you go to www.lastmovieoutpost.com, you will see our various social links there. You can go to any one of them. And, of course, this YouTube channel. Looking for you to like, share, and subscribe, especially share. The more you share out these videos, the more we can get subscribers and, you know, we can...
The more we take bribes for good reviews
right.
and eventually retire someplace to the Texas coast.
I'll be honest with you. You know my goal with this is that I am tired of reading any stories about entertainment that insert some stupid woke bullshit in it. I'm so tired. You know, did you see the thing with the Greg Berlanti shows? I'll talk about this and then we'll head out. The Greg Berlanti shows.
I'm not done with my route. You
I'm not.
Down.
I've got
we're
a rant
gonna,
here. You
we're
just
gonna talk this.
You
one out.
Sit out and shut up. The Greg, the Flash, the Green Arrow, the Arrowverse. Right? Are they any more woke than those goddamn shows, the Supergirl and all those things? And yet, it wasn't woke enough. This writer got fired on there because she kept pointing out every single Me Too joke that was in there until finally even the woke assholes at the Berlantiverse finally went, get her out of here. Get her out of here.
This is an article at LMO, by the way.
This is an article at Last Movie Outpost, yes. But I'm...
Listen, your ideas suck. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. But when you read any other stories...
The show.
When you read any other stories, they immediately take her side and say, yes... The Arrowverse has some explaining to do. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't watch any of those shows anymore because there's nothing that's not woke in it anymore. And I'm like, oh, just
yeah.
shut. So that's what this
Who
site
you?
Is all about. We are going to give
Who,
you honest reviews.
This is my
reviews.
Question to you when it comes to this show, that show in particular. I've never seen it. And to be quite honest with you, up until the article today, I really hadn't heard much of it other than people mentioning it other places. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. DC has got a thing on TV? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently all I've ever heard is just shit after shit after shit. You knowing about it means I'm assuming you've probably seen it, or at least you've seen
yeah.
something from it.
I like the
more
Flash.
Than I can say because I hadn't even heard of it.
I like the
Who
Flash
is it
for
then?
A while. Well, I like the Flash for a while. And then it started, you know, it. And then they brought in Supergirl. It immediately went woke. And then went woker when it got over to the CW. It started out on CBS and they pulled it to the CW. They've tried to do, like, some of the big stories of DC, like the Crisis on Infinite Earths and things like that. And they have all these crossover episodes, which is a good idea. I mean, it's a multiverse, you know, like
yeah.
a shared universe.
That's
but,
what we should have been doing all along, DC.
Right. But then they've... then, but they were more worried about doing some sort of story about somebody coming out lesbian,
the
like
Blue Chet route,
like anybody gives a shit in this day and age, or the
no,
you know, racism, or you know, all the usual.
I have flustered Yoda. Tonight on LMO, Yoda is stumbling over words. He's lost it.
All must die. So I'm so done with all this. It's not that they're putting out these shows. I mean, that's part of it. But what really infuriates me is that reading all these sycophantic articles on these shows so that they keep their access and they just bow down to all this creepy woke garbage. I'm like, that's what this site is about, is people writing their honest opinions about stuff and trying to point it out, you know, not make a huge deal out of it. Cause not everything that has something that would be considered woke is necessarily woke. So we try to be fair about it, but it's like when it's out there, we're not going to give Cuties a good review. And if we get on Rotten Tomatoes, we're going to be the naysayers on a lot of this shit, because why the critics are sucking up to these movie. Here's my credibility.
When we're done with this at some point, Yoda, you need to take all that, splice it separately, save it, and then that's going to have to be something to just put on the website, on the YouTube channel, just so it's there.
Oh, that sounds exhausting.
Because it's movie website Dennis Leary, which is going to be the one that everybody recognizes. Everybody knows the name Dennis Leary.
I'm probably getting to that point. I've just had enough of these fucking people.
Let's go down that road. Who cares? I've just had enough with people.
Okay, Kurt says
the day would be fine.
The bug is gone, thanks YouTube. I'm not sure which bug he's talking about, unless he's talking about the ability to embed, if anything, we have introduced a bug to YouTube, because we're not supposed to be able to do that, and yet we can do that. So, if anything, basically, thank you for bringing in a bug.
Because we are internet. We are the internet Veltrex.
So somebody, I got a feeling that somebody in YouTube, maybe, I have nothing to back this up, but somebody in YouTube went, I kind of like these guys.
You know what it is? Yoda, let's stop this. Let's look at, they think you're cute. We're getting away with it. They think you're cute. Okay? You just stop.
You're really reaching.
They're like, ooh, this guy knows about comic books.
He's delicious. Look at that second chin. Ooh, God. That is Jabba-like, baby.
Oh, my God. We're going to be Brie Larson with 1 million automatic followers. Keep it up. Take your shirt off next time we do a show.
Don't,
watch what happens. We're
going
to the top,
me.
Baby.
Don't tempt me. Don't you do
I'll
it.
I'll do it. I swear.
Fucker.
It's cold here. I'm not doing it.
That's right. I could cut diamonds with these.
Look at that. Our ratings have gone up.
They have, actually. We're up to 21 now. We are killing it.
Really popular in the back alley crowd. The demographics are
don't know what's going on.
To us.
So, okay. Dom, before I do start drinking, you take care. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching.
I'll do my best.
You weirdos for staying with this whole thing. You're really nuts. But we will be back. You want to try again next Thursday?
Let's do it. We've got next Thursday we're going to be doing a live auction. We're going to be auctioning off 2 hours free with Ebob Jr. We're raising money for the Zack Snyder tickets to go see the movie. Is it coming out in a theater? What's going on? I don't really care anymore.
Hold on, I got the lawyers on the phone. Yeah.
Can they do that?
Yeah, they said to stop that.
Oh. Which part?
All of it.
Well, I got...
We're not raising money for Ebob Jr.
Read the articles. Ebob Jr. will be safe. Be sure to check out my next show. It's going to be live from Azerbaijan. We'll be auctioning off. I'm not. Now, you know what? Best left unsaid.
I'm just going to put the lawyers to voicemail. Kurt said he couldn't see the chat for a while, but now he can. So maybe that's. It's been a little quieter on the chat, believe it or not, even though we have a fair amount of viewers here, it seems like. So
as long as they're getting our content, baby, I don't care.
I don't care either.
Consume product.
We've been. And then give me more product to consume.
Yes, I need more product for consumption.
Put on these sunglasses. I don't want the sunglasses. I'm happy the way things are.
Product?
I'll buy the product. I don't care. I obey. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll obey.
The glasses give me a headache. Isn't it?
Well, we're grabbing at straws here.
We are. We better go. Lastmovieoutpost.com.
Zack Snyder films.
No more Zack Snyder stuff. Well, we're gonna wait and deal with that when the Justice League movie comes out. We're gonna have some fun.
Are we doing a live show when that thing happens and we're going to put it in the green screen background and we're gonna watch it live together? We'll get like chicken wings and pizza. I want buckets of beer because it's the only way that thing is going to be survivable. There's nothing better than watching a movie,
you know what,
with a couple of friends.
Comment
and then
down
hearing
below.
Them chew food.
Comment down below. Hear... You tell us. Do you want us to do
for
a live stream?
Fucking hours.
Do we want to do 4 hours or do we just want to do each episode as they come out? I'm going to leave it up to you.
Or as
you, you know, the viewer. You tell us. You want us to do a live stream of Justice League? And do you want us to do the whole 4 hours all at once? Or do you want us to do each episode as they come out over the course of 4 weeks? Let us know down in the comments.
Is it going to take 2 hours with Ebob Jr. to convince you, America?
Well, we'll let them decide. It'll be fine. It's going to be fine.
I would like to know, but we're going to have to do something when that thing comes out.
All right. Take care, America.
We can go now if you want.
We are cutting this stream off before it gets too terrible. I think it's gone off the rails. Yeah.